Well. It isn't Rude Jesus and Chad Thoreau.
What's up, man? How's it going?
Yo, guys.
GM. Another day, another GM. Another Chad's talking Thor chain.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I had a nice gap week last week. That was relaxing.
Oh, yeah. Such a relaxing week.
but you guys, it was rough as shit.
Yeah. I'm feeling that for sure.
It's all good. This is how crypto land works.
Definitely. Many lessons learned.
Yeah, I had a nice little break last week.
And people will learn again.
Nice to be back here with you guys, because I always have a bunch of fun on these spaces, and it's good to, you know, it is like informational, and it's you know, forward looking, and you know, a lot better vibes here than elsewhere. So let's keep it like that on this. So you gotta let me pin the agenda up here. We can get started in a couple minutes. Yeah, were people waiting for this one? Is it 87 people in here already? Like 4 minutes in? That's the thing that's unheard of for our space. This quickly.
People missed the gap week, right? All the pent up fortune energy.
You know, like a TV show that takes like a couple weeks break before like the season finale or something like that. I don't think this is the season finale, but hold on,
wow.
Do you know something that I don't know?
No. Season finale of the dumping, hopefully.
Also, have Pluto here. We can Pluto's going to talk about this new ADR process, so we can talk about that in a little bit. But thanks for being here, Pluto.
Yeah, sure, no problem. Just let me know. We can tap in and discuss that whenever.
Yeah, sure. So we should probably just talk about status first, and then we can go into the ADRs, because I think that's like, you know, one kind of precedes the other in terms of, like, you know, one is the consequence of having this ADR process. So Orion also wants to come up. Hey, Orion.
No. I'm happy to share some of the Terra snapshotting stuff. When we're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's just do a quick intro first. So I'll start. This is Familiar Cow from Nine Realms.
This is Chad B from the Core Dev Team.
Chad Thoreau, community member and ThorSwap content.
I'm Pluto. I work on dev infrastructure and security at Nine Realms.
This is Orion. Work on all sorts of stuff, but at Nine Realms, and have been helping with the TFL Terra snapshotting stuff recently.
And Chad Thoreau.
I already went.
Oh, sorry. My bad. All right. All good. Let's get into it. So with the Luna liquidity pools, right now, trading is not open on the Luna liquidity pools after it was closed automatically weeks ago. And withdrawals are enabled, but only enabled from the same direction that was deposited. So if you deposited symmetrically, you can symmetrically withdraw. And if you deposited asymmetrically, I believe you can asymmetrically withdraw. And right now, the nodes on the Thorchain network are voting as to what will happen next. And currently, that's leaning very closely towards Ragnarok-ing the chain and returning funds back to the LPs automatically. So with that, I would say LPs should consider withdrawing their funds before it's done automatically for them. But that vote is not passed yet, and it's looking like it will very soon. It's almost reached consensus, it looks like.
Well, maybe we can go over exactly like how the Ragnarok process would look like if people do wait.
Yeah, I'm pulling that up right now. Chad, do you know, have you looked into the Ragnarok process? I'm pulling up the GitLab issue.
I feel like probably... Wait,
talking to me, which Chad are you?
Oh, yeah, Chad, yeah, Rune Jesus, Bedford.
Rune Jesus? What? So right now the team is working on a PR that would allow the node operators to basically like Ragnarok a particular pool, which of course, once that gets merged and deployed, the nodes can vote to Ragnarok UST, and then once the UST is Ragnarok, we can Ragnarok Luna. And then once that happens, they make another code change that just basically gets the nodes themselves to spin down Terra. And all the infrastructure on the infrastructure side of things. I think that's
I'm missing something. I think that's it in a nutshell.
Yep. So basically, if this vote passes, which it's looking like that it's going to go through, you know, within a couple hours, likely there's 59 currently voting in favor. I believe it's 66% that need to agree in order to start the Ragnarok. And I believe a software update needs to happen first for this, correct?
Correct.
So, you know, once the software update is deployed and this vote happens, then the Terra chains will start to Ragnarok and automatically return funds to LPs. So if you don't want to wait for that to happen and you're an LP, you should probably withdraw, although you should make your own determination, I guess. And Orion has been working hard on getting LP info to the TFL team for the Luna V2 snapshot. So it's probably a good time to talk about that.
Yeah. So the kind of this is all kind of an evolving process. So things might change, but the current state of play is that I've provided TFL with a list of the Terra addresses for all of Thorchain's vaults. So that's the Asgard and Yggdrasils. There's a list of I think it's 113 addresses because we had a churn throughout the snapshotting windows, and they're going to take those. Calculate the balances, and then there will be the balance of the sum of all of those vaults at each snapshotting period will be earmarked for the Thorchain community. After the dust settles with kind of the Terra 2.0 getting spun up, then we'll work with the community there to be able to distribute that to users. It seems like it's going to be a manual process. So I'm in contact with them regularly to make sure that we have the latest information there, but that's kind of the current state of play. It's not going to be an immediate thing, but I just wanted to make sure that our community is as supported as it can be.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ryan. I know there's probably a lot of people who are affected by, you know, the whole Luna thing. So these efforts are definitely not falling upon people who, you know, are ungrateful, and everyone's, everyone should thank Orion for, you know, taking this into consideration and helping out the LPs with this snapshot business. Because this is all just kind of like, you know, everyone's just trying to, you know, get out of this safely and, you know, so we can finally move on with our lives past Terra.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. And I'd also say a big thanks to Thorchain Bull for helping to facilitate the conversation with TFL. And there's been a number of other community members like Basic in the dev Discord that have stepped up to assist. So it's a community effort, and doing the best that we can for the Thorchain community.
Sweet. And we can go into some comms improvements, and this kind of goes along with governance as well. So this is a new ADR process that's being spearheaded by Pluto, and it's being implemented. It's basically a way to signal goods and contributors to the protocol to signal for new features. So Pluto, let's hear about the new ADR process, and we can maybe you can give a high level overview, and then we can go into maybe some of the more nitty gritty on what the ADR process means and exactly how it works. Let's do it.
If someone wants to pin the tweet thread that I put out yesterday, that's probably a good primer for anyone who likes to read text a bit more. Just going to start off by saying one thing, that this is still very much a proposal. None of this is finalized.
Pluto, sorry, it's a little hard to hear if you have a microphone or something like that. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to try to go somewhere a little bit quieter. I'm sorry, I just live in a hotel lobby. How's this? Is this a little better?
It seems like your mic is just kind of covered, maybe, or something. It's just a little muffled.
How about now, guys?
Nope. Seems about this. It's about the same. We can hear you. It's just a little hard, but I think just go with it.
Give me a few seconds.
Couldn't hear you at all, guys. I think you went the wrong direction.
Hey, how's this, guys? Better.
It's quiet, but it's better.
Better works. Okay. I'll pull that. Yes. How about this one? Is it better?
No, we're going off the rails here. it's not working.
All right. We're just gonna have to save this for a different time, and we can discuss this next time.
All right. Next time's fine too.
Yeah.
Sounds true.
That's fine. We can go into that. So With the other, well, actually, Pluto, I think it'd be good to do like another, like a separate, like dedicated thing to the ADR process, like maybe in Discord or something like that, just to gather feedback and stuff on the process, because you know, it's still a work in progress getting this implemented into the Thorchain like governance structure, if you will. So maybe like a dedicated thing to the ADRs would be really good if we can do that next week if you're down. So all right. So with the other comms thing, so the ADR process is sort of a new like signaling / governance mechanism that's being implemented, and along with that, Nine Realms is taking a lead on doing some more comms improvements, including submitting weekly development goals on Mondays, on Wednesdays, knowing the weekly chain integration updates, which was posted by Eridonis this week. And all that in a second. And then on Friday is going over the status towards the weekly goals that were reported on. So the first one will be submitted a little bit later after this call, so I can put stuff together and then get it out there. But we can quickly go over what was sent out for the chain updates. So that is the chain integration updates for Atom and Avax, which is being worked on by Eridonis and Pluto. One sec, let me just pull this up here. All right, so with Atom, currently the unit and smoke tests are in progress and close to being ready for review, and pretty similar to Terra implementation-wise, so this would likely be the next chain coming to Thorchain, and that's the Gaia Hub Atom coin, and also Avax Avalanche, and they're working up the first drafts of the chain client and the shared EVM components, and the router contract is done. And then also there's work being done on Dash. The smoke tests are wrapping up there, and it's close to ready for review. And there's other chains that are maybe not as close for addition, but other things are being worked on as well, as along with aggregators to go along with these new chains. So development is still going at full speed for all of these new, chain integrations, and going along with that, the aggregators that will really make the chain additions really powerful by letting you go right to long tail assets right from the new integrations. Anyone have anything to add on those chain additions?
I think these chains are going to be really positive and really good for the network. We're also trying to work with the community behind Atom and Avalanche to kind of drum up support and that kind of stuff, so that when we do launch this thing, there's kind of a PR push to get those communities to kind of sign up and sign on, in a sense. So I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah, really exciting to see those two chains sounding pretty close. I think they're both really important kind of top priority ones to get out. So great job moving those forward. And it also, like those teasers in the dev Discord around, sounds like maybe some things already kind of lined up with Avalanche. So we'll see what happens there. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I think that the Avalanche one will be that's really exciting. And Atom too. Both of these are very very popular in the space. And hopefully, what everyone wants is to drive TBL and to edge to add more connections, because that's what the people want, is more chain connections. I think that's what should be done. So that's being worked on.
Yeah, a lot of the people in the community, like I know Smith's in the audience, who's one of these people that are talking about really wanting to see low gas EVM chain and like Avalanche or buying a smart chain or like one of these kind of types. So it's good to finally get one of those kind of belt. And then we're also working with the like various DEXs of these environments, right, to get them to like integrate with Thorchain directly, using this whole like DEX aggregation thing, which we're gonna dive into that a little bit later on. But getting them not only just getting the layer one assets on our chain, but also get their communities to integrate with ours, which we were in the middle of doing with Terra, and that was all kind of being worked on and coming downstream, and then that obviously is not going to happen at this point for obvious reasons, but like to get like not just allowing the movement of assets, but like integrating the two communities in a more fundamental sense, with something that like I think we want to see a lot of in the future.
Yeah, and also this kind of ties in with this new ADR process, because the signaling of what chains to add, ultimately the final decision is always up to the nodes of the network, the nodes that actually run the network, and they're the ones that decide whether chains will actually see the light of day on Thorchain or not. So this new ADR process can and should be used for the addition of new chains. So this is kind of the new process of nodes signaling whether they want a chain added before the work is actually done to add something, because without like basically the sign off of the operators of the network, the chain can't be added. So if there's questions as to the security or anything regarding whether a chain should even be on the network or not in the first place, it's always up to the node. So this new ADR process should make it so it's able to be signaled before work has been done to actually put the chain onto the network, if that makes sense. So yeah, I'm looking forward to see how the new process works with especially signaling and development of new chains that we haven't even discussed yet. So that's likely what's going to happen going forward. All right, so we can go on to other stuff, unless you guys have something to add.
Sure.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. All right. Other stuff.
Kyle, LF yes. fucking G, man. LF fucking G. Like.
You're right, Chad.
I'm just playing around. Lighten the mood a little bit. Play around.
Chad's ready to fucking go with new chains. All this new chain talk just, you know, gets the Chads going.
I am so ready. I'm so ready to move on.
Yeah.
It's like a bad breakup, you know. It's like, you know, right now, everyone's kind of feeling it. Everyone's a little like bad. That's the way that we thought that was going to go. But you know, only option is to move forward and move on with more chain integrations, more features. Keep shipping. Keep making Thorchain better than it can be. Yeah, man, she took my favorite sweatshirt. Like I can't go to my favorite restaurant anymore because I always just think of us there. Oh man, it's a rough breakup period.
We'll get through it. We can move on. We'll rebuild all that shit. Like, you know,
100%.
This is barely a kick in the arm, if that.
Exactly. Yeah. Honestly, it's like such a beautiful thing to see in this community. Is just like the ambition and drive forward, like under any circumstances. It's just like really impressive. So yeah, props to Nine Realms and all the stuff that's being pushed out right now, all the new chains, all the core team ideas that have been coming out. It's just, it's really cool to see like full speed ahead and just like focus in a time of like, you know, broader turmoil. So really cool to see.
All right, yeah, let's just get through a couple more things, then we can open up for questions. First, mainnet soon with the trademark. Anything to say about mainnet, Chad?
Yeah, so like we're already ready for mainnet. Really, there's nothing more that we can do within our community. But we were just kind of waiting for this partner to make it announceable, blah, 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 thing, whatever. But then like Terra happened, and you know every team in crypto just was in a fire drill scenario, and like everything got pushed back, and you know, so they had to refocus their energy on all that stuff and not so much on, you know, like our partnership. And so I'm assuming it's still pretty close by, but I haven't spoken to them recently personally, so I'm not quite sure. But part of me is like, I'm just so tempted just to move forward without them, and then they'll just announce their own thing, you know, later on, you know, at some point whenever they get their ducks in a row, in a sense, and just like, we're ready to go. Like, I'm ready to go. It's just, you know, LFG, man, let's just go. Let's get this thing moving. We're waiting long enough.
Let's do it.
Yeah. We also have Dex Aggregator, which should be like very, very, very soon. Is that the next update for the Dex Aggregator?
Yeah, it's supposed to be coming out in the next update. And then once that launches, you'll be able to do both swap in and swap out Dex aggregation on the network from a core functionality perspective. And then it's about UIs integrating with that. And sure, ThorSwap will probably be one of the first that you can like, you know, swap Bitcoin to like Chainlink or something like this or whatever, or something even else. Like they can send their stuff to someone else or receive from someone. Like, so it's gonna be interesting to see how that kind of pans out. And the Nine Realms team will be doing a lot of like biz dev over the next like 6 months to a year to kind of like drum up support for those other DEXs to integrate, which I don't understand why they wouldn't do it. Like, it just seems like a no brainer. Like, there's no downside other than the effort it takes to kind of hook in, but you get access to like layer one assets on every other chain and an ecosystem. It's just like, there's no other than just like dev priorities, there's like no rationale to not do this. At least my view.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that we found is that it's the, yeah, it's just fitting into the these existing roadmaps for these teams. And so that's where Pluto, Eridonis, and other folks in the community are working to just make it as turnkey as possible. But that's been the main point of friction, is like they recognize the value, but they just don't have cycles to devote to it.
Yeah, I know on the ThorSwap side, I know the tech stuff is done, just some front end UI stuff still being put together, but I'm sure ThorSwap will be pretty much right behind it's a 1.90, right? So I guess when that goes live, like hopefully soon after, it'll be possible there. And then, yeah, very exciting once we kind of see it proliferate the broader ecosystem. And yeah, like Chad said, you know, like why wouldn't you do it? It's like just going to make every DEX better. So
can you just like imagine like if like a DEX out there's like Bitcoin, why the hell would I want to exchange with Bitcoin?
are you sure people want that? I mean,
I remember I was talking to one group, and I won't say which one because I don't want to embarrass them, but like they were just like, well, we already have WBDC. And I'm just like, what? What are you talking about? Did you just say that to me?
Yeah, it's already doing like, you know, $10 billion. So, I mean, why would people want to switch to the real thing?
Why would people want access to $600 to $700 billion asset? No.
We should abolish Bitcoin and only use wrapped Bitcoin. Like, we should just all agree not to use Bitcoin, and we'll all just use Bitcoin on Ethereum.
Yeah, layer one Bitcoin is the fake Bitcoin. WBDC and these things are the real Bitcoin. Yeah, it's coming though. Like, like Ryan said, it just takes time for the LEDs to like get their shit together, and they have their own like technical priorities and like roadmaps and all this kind of stuff. And as Ryan was also saying about Eridonis and Pluto working on, you know, making it easier for them to do it, you know, in a very quicker, easier way to do it. So it's just going to take time. But like, to me, this is at this point, once we launch in version 90, like, I don't see this anything other than just being an inevitable process. It's going to be a long process, but like, inevitably, like a year from now, like almost every DEX, like every major DEX in the industry is going to be integrated with every other major DEX in the industry. And that's just going to be like the new standard that everybody just can't imagine a world that wasn't the case. You know, people will forget about how difficult it was to move your assets around different systems and go through all these like weird bridges with wrapped assets and like all this kind of nonsense, you know?
Yeah. And in wallet integrations too. I mean, this stuff is just all going to become like just kind of built in and obvious and a standard. It's like why wouldn't it, you know, why would you want to have to string together 10 different wallets and 25 different dApps and 30 different DEXs when you can just kind of do everything all interconnected? Like, that's, to me, it seems obvious that that's the way like the broader space is going to move towards. Yeah,
yeah.
So,
yeah. Even in addition to that, like the good wallet will do like really good aggregation in the sense of like finding the best price. Like if you're trying to move from this point, from point A to point B, and there's, you know, four different DEXs that allow you to accomplish that task, the good ones will like figure out which ones will be cheaper. Like, you know, OneInch does this and Paraswap does this kind of concept. And sometimes they even take your trade and split it into like two or three different trades and two or three different like pathways to get you the most efficient and cheapest, you know, and all that will just be built into like the wallet on your phone or whatever.
Can't wait for that day. All right. Next thing, ThorFi. So another hot topic, especially after the whole Luna thing. And I'll offer my personal condolences to Chad, because this is Chad's absolute baby. And he's gotten like, you know, an incredible amount of shit for Thor for the past, you know, couple of weeks. Not that there wasn't any before, but, you know, people have definitely turned their minds away from it for now. So, you know, Chad Babbert up on stage here has put a ton of work into this. And yeah, do you want to talk about the status at all, or should we leave it?
Yeah, I mean, for me, this is a bit rough just because just on a personal level, just because this is something that I've been working on for close to a year and like in designing and architecting what the ThorFi thing is. And myself and another individual on the team have been working on this thing for a very long period of time. And we've gone through, you know, close to 10 or 12, whatever the hell the number is, I've lost count. But like, whatever the hell the number is, we've just gone through so many iterations to find just like the most perfect implementation of this, what this was. And then we all felt good about it. We even looked at Luna UC. We found what we felt were, you know, weaknesses in the design that we didn't want to replicate right in the context of after watching it all happen the other day. And then like just that event, like everybody was positive about ThorFi. The community was like super bullish on ThorFi. And then all of a sudden, the UST collapses, which just changes like the whole crypto ecosystem. Like everything just kind of shifted. And the community's kind of comfortability with ThorFi shifted because some other project didn't implement their thing as well. And so like that just created like this so much drama and resistance and these things that I've been for almost a year now trying to get to see this thing come to fruition with like of like zero liquidation loans and interest-based accounts and like all these things that I was like and I still like super bullish on. So but then it just seemed like you know the temperature of the room changed and it's just not the right time to be doing these kind of things. And so after fighting for a while and losing that battle, you know, we're just going to postpone ThorFi for 2 or 3 months or so, and then see if the room temperature changes at that point. People kind of, once they get off the kind of the fear index and get back towards, you know, get back to the real world in some sense, then maybe people will be more open to it, or maybe they won't be, like, who knows, but we'll find out in a few months. And of course the community will only do what the community wants to do. So if the community doesn't want to do ThorFi, then guess what's not going to happen. ThorFi. If people want to do ThorFi, then I guess it will happen. ThorFi. So it's up to the community in the end.
Yep. And I think it's like it's very difficult for, you know, this thing to happen. But, you know, in the first place, it's not like ThorFi was going to be implemented, you know, in a couple of weeks, even, you know, talking in the context of a few weeks ago when people were talking about it quite often. We were, you know, always going through the design. Orion has been working on modeling the design. It's not like it was like ready to ship, and you know all it needs to be was a couple buttons need to be pressed, and it was out there. It needs to bake, and people need to signal their desire for it comes back. So like while it's on the back burner right now, who knows, like it might see the light of day one day. But yeah, I mean thanks for all your work, Chad, because yeah, I know over the past couple of weeks, you know, people have been just, you know, pretty relentless and not so kind about these things, especially when, you know, there's been so much work putting into this, especially like a lot of diligence on, you know, the part of you and Orion towards like modeling these things and not just like, oh, hey, we're going to ship this new feature to the network and, you know, kind of hope it works. You know, a lot of research has been going into this and it's still continuing to go into this. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's still like the most exciting concept ever. And I do think there was just kind of like some misunderstanding amongst the community and kind of like being overly fearful as if it was going to come out tomorrow. And, you know, obviously that was not really the case, but, you know, people rightfully so, like Chad said, the temperature in the room has kind of changed. So, I think it makes sense to me. I think people right now, like, you know, want to see new chains. I also think this leads into another thing we can touch on, which is kind of like in a way, achieving some of what people are really excited with ThorFi is single-sided yield. So now there's this proposal for the single-sided LP that's getting a lot more attention. So maybe you can go into that a bit. But I think it's an interesting concept just to like kind of take like what are the parts that were the most exciting about ThorFi? And it's probably like, you know, single-sided yield, the potential to borrow. Those are probably like the core real things. Whereas there are some specific nuances that are where people really got freaked out. So,
yeah, I mean, even within the algo stable context, like the algo stable that we talked about building for ThorChain is like, it's not UST. Like it, in many respects, in one respect is it's never going to be $18 billion. It's not trying to be the payment solution for, you know, buying hot dogs, you know, on the street corner or whatever. It had no, and especially in the most recent design edition, like it has no demand center. It has like, it's the reverse of Anchor, right? And so you never have enough coin in market cap to create any kind of hyperinflation scenarios because nobody's going to hold it other than arbitrage bots and, you know, a few random people here and there. But like it would never grow to a market cap where it actually a dangerous scenario. It would never be under collateralized in the sense of like sometimes people talk about Luna UST kind of scenario. So like there were so many things that people just didn't even understand about it. It's like there's this fear based upon fear itself rather than understanding the actual design and implementation details. And so, but that's going to be maybe it'd be easier to convince people when people are more calm and more, you know, open to listening rather than just kind of like running around with their hair on fire. But yes, to Chad Thoreau's point about, so Well, I think that the team has been researching and looking into is the idea of visiting the idea of doing single-sided LP. And we've looked into this a bunch of times throughout the life of the project, and we just have never found a implementation that made sense. It's difficult to why no AMM does it today, really. Bancor just recently started doing it as part of Bancor V3. Their implementation is different, though. They infinitely mint BNT, as much as they feel like, which we can't really do that in the same sense that they can. That also comes with some costs. I'm not sure if their committee understands that those costs, though. But so we've been looking at their design. We've been asking them some questions about their design to see if that makes sense for us or not. A lot of the design that we put out there publicly is, similar to their design, but not quite. But we're still doing our own internal research. Orion is assisting in that process to make sure that this implementation does make sense and that it does, provide a significant more amount of liquidity into the pools to attract, the maxis of the world, the Bitcoin maxis and the ETH maxis who just want BTC or just want Ethereum exposure and don't around those other shit token, quote unquote, or whatever. But that would probably solve any problems we would have about ensuring that the pools are deep. In fact, it might be so successful, it'd be harmful in the context of the pools become overfilled. And not that the network would lose economic security, it always ensures that, but the attention pendulum might even push, to the nodes pretty strongly, right? Because there's so much now, there's such a high amount of liquidity in the network on the pool side that the attention pendulum pushes to the nodes, and the nodes are going to be incentivized to buy a bunch more Rune and start jumping into the node side, which pushes it back down again. So the pendulum is starting to be swinging back and forth. And it's going to be a funny thing in this network. Like, at all times, this network is going to be fighting one of three things or two of three things. You always have to be fighting the security, the liquidity of the pools, and the trade volume, right? And the yield. And so as soon as you solve one of those three, the other one becomes an issue, right? It's almost like a whack-a-mole situation or like juggling three things at once. And so as soon as you fix, people remember months ago, we were like, oh, well, there's not enough bond in the network and that whole thing's going to, blah, blah, blah. And people freaking out. And then we made some changes that it's in a team, as a community, that incentivized more people to come in to, run more nodes and add more to the bond. And that was great. And now you got tons of bond. And then oh, we don't have enough for the pools. Okay, and then we go ahead and do this change here. We're talking about single-sided LP. Okay, now we got tons of liquidity in the pools. Oh, crap. Now the yield's lower because the liquidity is much higher. So now you think now we got to increase trade volume. Okay, we get dex aggregation and get these other things to integrate so that more swap bombs happening. Oh, okay, now we're going to need more. It's always going to be a thing. I can't see it ever stopping where it's just one of these three things is kind of lagging behind the other two. And then there's pressure to get that third thing up. And then one of the other one to fall behind. It's just gonna be a constant turning, a merry-go-round of trying to solve one thing which causes another problem issue and then solve that one. It's just gonna be for the life of the project, that's probably always gonna be true. But we're still looking into it, we're still researching it. It's not ironclad yet, we're shipping this yet, it doesn't even have my personal, cryptographic signature of approval at this time. And we're still discussing and debating internally, and we wanted to get some feedback from the community of their thoughts. And if there's anything that we're possibly missing, people can speak up and let us know or ask questions or what have you.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to dive into details at this time, or maybe a later time. As you said, it's still kind of being fleshed out, but just conceptually, I think it's one of the most exciting things, and will drive. It'd be so cool to see the incentive pendulum play out the way you described, where you could see you can see the LPs just completely fill out to the point where all the rewards are going to the nodes. But then what you're really describing for people is kind of this liquidity black hole concept that excites so much of the community, right? It's the liquidity is going to get way deeper, which means the swaps get much better, and then you grow swap volume, which then boosts yields again, then you need more bond. It's just this flywheel between those three kind of competing areas that you're describing. So
right.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff. Yeah, and it solves the Venn diagram problem. I was just tweeting with this guy just when I woke up this morning, and he was saying what's the proof that there's a small Venn diagram overlap of the people that want one side versus the people that want Rune? And I'm like, well, just the current TVL, look at it. Why is it not 100 times higher? And that's I think that's kind of a key, basically the biggest reason. So.
Yeah. I think that's part of what like Thorify was designed to do, was to help all that stuff raid, because the component was that people were going to burn rune to join savings, for example. And in doing so, you're burning rune, you're reducing the supply, you're therefore increasing the price. And by increasing the price, the value of the bond goes up, right? The total like dollar value of the bond increases, and the total value of the rune side of the pools goes up, which means arbitrage needs to come in and send in more Bitcoin and more Ethereum. So all the pools just naturally become deeper. But the bond and the pools are being like raised together simultaneously and complete, you know, it's succinctly rising together. And so like that's sometimes like a great way of doing it is by just like pumping the price. And Thorify, I think, was going to be a big component of that, of like pumping the price and getting the not pump the price just to make the price go higher. But obviously, that's a good thing. But like, it's not just about, you know, money go up, but like it's more about just like rising what the network can do in terms of its liquidity and its like throughput, all this kind of stuff. And so like that was something that I was excited about, and we can reapproach in a few months and hopefully get that done as well.
Sweet. All right. Last thing, then we can get people up for some questions. So if you have questions, just request now and we'll get you up after the next thing. The Crosschain Expo is happening in Austin, Texas on June 8th. That's right before Consensus Convention. I think it's Consensus, right? Going on in Austin. And some of us will be there. I'll be there. I don't know who else is. I think Chad Barker.
I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be giving a talk, I think, at some point. And people want to say hello and that kind of stuff. That's cool.
Yeah, it'll be really cool. It's the day before Consensus starts. So it is on Wednesday, June 8th in Austin. So there's going to be a whole day of, it's a free event, by the way. And it's all Thorchain panels and talks and us talking about cross-chain and multi-chain and, you know, all the stuff that we're excited about here in Thorchain land. So that's going to be awesome. Free event. Also, I just found out the next day is Osmosis is having something the next day. I'm interested in checking that out. Hopefully there's some cool stuff and some great people. And, you know, I look forward to meeting people that are going to be there as well. So hope to see people there. All right. Let's get some people up for questions on anything.
Yeah. I see Seffy's been waiting. We have no choice but to start there. So
Seffy, what's up, man?
Hey guys. Good morning. So I was just kind of overhearing the discussion about adding, I guess, Gaia Hub or Cosmos Hub or whatever we're calling it these days. What drove that as sort of like one of the next chains to do? What do you guys foresee as the kind of future of the Cosmos Hub exactly? Now, this is coming from someone who owns a fair amount of Atom. So I'm just curious, like, why choose that? And like, do you see some really important developments for Atom coming that might make sense to incorporate this into the Thorchain ecosystem?
Yeah. So like, we're obviously big fans of the Cosmos ecosystem in general. Obviously Thorchain itself is a Cosmos based blockchain. And we started with Terra because that was what the community wanted most. That's just kind of what the obvious, you didn't even need to take a poll for this thing. You can just feel it in the air, in a sense. And so we wanted to continue with them, like the Cosmos road. And for us, like the most economically significant and probably the most like the center of Cosmos in some sense is the Cosmos Hub or Gaia. And so that just kind of became like the natural next thing. We also already have good relationships to a degree with, you know, well-known people in that community to help kind of garner support. And also I feel like there was like, to be a bit blunt here, I kind of got the feeling from some of the Cosmos community in general of a little bit of like shade kind of being thrown at Thorchain over the last like few months or year or whatever it's been. And like, I think there's a little bit of like healing that needs to happen between our community and their community because, you know, we weren't all in on IPC, which had a bad taste in some people's mouths. And, you know, I just kind of felt like we were a little bit black sheep in the Cosmos ecosystem in general. And, you know, it's not something I'm proud about, obviously. It's something I'd rather not, you know, have. And so I think adding Cosmos was kind of a way to, extend an olive branch to that community, to that ecosystem, saying like, you know, we're not against you here. We're not, you know, we don't hate IPC. We don't hate all you. Like, like we're all friends here. You know, let's shake hands and sing kumbaya.
And Chad, just like to maybe tell us what the history of the IBC or integration or lack thereof, like what's that all about exactly?
Yeah, like so in the earlier days of ThorChain's development, the assumption always was for myself and all the other core devs that we were going to use IBC to connect it into the IBC like world, right? That was always the standpoint. And as soon as we got ready to start integrating with, you know, Cosmos or whatever, and this was like many months ago, we had to start looking into the actual process of like, oh, how do we set up, you know, IBC relayer and how do we do this and da-da-da, like, how does this all work? And then the deeper we got into it, we just realized that the technical implementation of IBC, while it's not a bad implementation, and I'm not a shit on it, so don't really interpret it that way, it just didn't adhere to the standards that we have within our own technical requirements, right? Like, for example, you know, there's no direct economic incentives for IBC to even exist, right? Like for IBC Relayer, you have to spend your own money to be a relayer and you don't get compensated for it. This, it requires a form of altruism in order for an IBC Relayer to even exist to begin with, rather than using pure economics, which is how everything is designed within 4chan, everything's economically incentivized properly. And so it didn't really make sense in the context of how we look at do things, right? Even like, we thought that we would get, you know, every, you know, 4chain node to run an IBC thing. And then, you know, we could slash them if they're not, you know, sending transactions or relaying transactions and blah, 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 blah. And like, that's just completely impractical within the current implementation of IBC. I think that will change with time. And I think as the IBC kind of protocol matures and goes into V2 and V3 and like, you know, develops over time, like I do believe in the IBC protocol in general. And I do think it's going to be an important component of that ecosystem for sure. And I do think it's going to get a lot better than what it is now, but it just didn't adhere to like this kind of the standards that we had as a project. And then it became this thing of like, well, if it doesn't adhere to these standards, then why are we going to create a second bridge where we already have one bridge that works extremely well? It's already highly, you know, integrated into our own system already. It's already properly incentivized. It's already properly, you know, we can slash people for not participating. All of that stuff. It's like, it's just, it's clean. It's well built. It's well designed. It's been proven itself to be working extremely well. And then to expose ourselves to another, you know, bridge type on our core fundamentals would just increase complexity, increase, you know, maintenance costs, increase, you know, like cognitive load on new developers coming in, something that they learn two bridges instead of just one. And so like it just increasingly just made less and less sense that the more we learned about IBC itself. So it became something we were super excited about. And then over, as we learned more about it, we just realized it's simply just wasn't a good fit for what we needed. And then that kind of me out in many respects. I thought it was going to be a lot quicker and similar to the new IBC, these kinds of integrations. So then we had to go through our own process, which was, you know, a bunch of work for us and all that kind of stuff. So it's not like,
so yeah, I guess it will be useful though. Cause I, you know, previously the dream, I guess the vision was that like, you know, UST would be a sort of like sensible way to get cash in and out of, a system, right? That was the dream, at least. Now that that's not the case anymore, I guess having Atom connected does help a lot because, you know, you have some sort of coin that you can get to back and forth from like a Kepler wallet to
right.
ThorChain. So it is, I think it's a productive move. But I get what you're saying with the IBC problem. Like I still can't figure out like, yeah, how would they economically incentivize it over the long run? It's not clear.
Yeah, we actually like we gave them some suggestions of saying like the IBC relayer should not be a separate process. It should be these built into the validator nodes themselves. Like it's part of Cosmos, integrated Cosmos itself. So you don't need a separate process or a separate server that's doing the relaying. And you just pick one relayer every block, and that one relayer is going to be the block proposer. And like that way you don't run into collisions and like everybody, like it becomes a lot smoother and cleaner. And maybe they'll change IBC in the future where that's more what it is, because having, you know, Jack over at Strangelove running all the, you know, relayers for everybody is, you know, very nice of Jack to do and all these kind of things, but it's probably not a long-term play for what the Cosmos system really needs. Right. And so, well, I think it'll evolve. I think it'll get better. I'm bullish to see what happens with it over the next, you know, 6 months and a year, whatever, and all these kind of things. But I think with like for us, like because Bifrost is chain agnostic and Cosmos is not, it's not even a specific implementation. It's more of a design protocol than a specific implementation. And so like, we already have something that works across every chain, whether it's, you know, a smart chain or not a smart chain or vice versa. So like
we kind of just doubled down on our own design because we realized we just felt very bullish and very confident. And what we put together, we feel it's a better design for accomplishing what we're trying to accomplish as a product, not necessarily a better design than what IBC is trying to accomplish for what they're trying to, for their use case, right? So it's like different things that have similar, it's like comparing a truck to a bus, right? Like they both transfer people from point A to point B, but you'd use a bus in this case and you'd use a truck in that case. And so like, it's not really comparable in that sense.
Orion here. One thing I'm really excited about on the IBC front, though, is leveraging the interchain accounts and some of the interchain querying. So I could imagine, in the future, having an IBC integration with ThorChain that lets effectively lets ThorChain emit information to the Cosmos ecosystem and lets Cosmos-based chains that are set up with IBC to be able to operate on ThorChain, but then not necessarily have transfers of value. So I think that there are some additional utilities and opportunities for ThorChain in the broader Cosmos ecosystem there.
Yeah, I also think just a key thing kind of from the user perspective, it's like whether an IBC asset is literally in the ThorChain pool or not, like you'll still be able to achieve essentially the same thing as far as swaps, like through DEX aggregation and all these integrations like to come in the future. Like, you know, at some point, maybe just within ThorSwap or XDeFi or Osmosis itself, potentially, I mean, just speculating, but like, you know, you could do all of this in theory. It's just on the back end, it looks a little different, but with Atom in the ThorChain pool, then that's like your way into the IBC world. And then from there, you're just, you know, one swap away from whatever you were trying to do. So going right from BTC to some obscure IBC asset in the future, you know, all of that is still going to be possible and essentially look exactly the same from the user perspective. It's just like, oh, there's not actually a, you know, an AKT pool on ThorChain or whatever, but there is the Atom pool. And then all of that, like that Atom pool just captures that piece of the puzzle. And then the DEX aggregation solves right the rest of it. So I still see it as like, you know, basically 99% of what everyone ever wanted is still going to happen. So
yeah, you'll be able to integrate with like GravityDEX or Osmosis and still be able to swap and then be able to go to BTC or something on Ethereum or whatever. But you'll probably like just so people know, like just because, you know, we integrate with Gaia doesn't mean we're going to allow non-Gaia native assets on ThorChain's pools. Right, like you couldn't take, you know, what's an example of a ICS-20? What's the name of that one? Anyways, you couldn't put that into the pools on ThorChain because those assets are not layer one assets. They are wrapped assets, right? IBC works on a wrapped asset mentality. And so like it's just minting a new coin that represents a coin on another chain, a one-to-one ratio. And so we generally don't operate with assets in general on this network. And so, you know, people can swap to Atom and then swap the Atom to BBC or whatever, but like probably would not accept like ICS-20 token just because it's kind of goes against the ethos from a security perspective. We don't want to have a bunch of wrapped assets in this network. And then the wrapped asset gets rug pulled because something happened, like who knows what happened, like, you know, and then all of a sudden we're in up the ship's creek because we never actually held the real asset. And so what do we do now? And that just becomes a, you know, a potential nightmare we want to avoid.
Sweet. Thanks, Ebony. Let's go to SN50.
The function SN50.
Maybe let's go to the citizen first.
All right.
Hey, guys. Hope you're all doing well. I was just curious if there, and maybe I missed this earlier on, there's one part that I missed in early this call, but are there plans to support the new Luna chain? That's my first question. I have one more.
So did you say Winif? What was that?
Are there plans to support the new Terra chain, the Terra like 2.0 launch here?
That's happening. Oh, yeah.
Or even discussion about that?
To be honest, at least within the core team in Nine Realms, I haven't heard any conversations about like whether or not to support Terra 2, Luna 2 or whatever it's going to be called. I'm open to it, right? Like I don't have a strong opinion on this at this time. I think it's a bit early to be having the conversation to some extent because we don't really know what exactly has happened quite yet. We have some idea or some sense, but how that's going to pan out, you know, who knows? And so like, I'm definitely open to having that conversation. I'm open to potentially supporting it. It's just a question of what does the community want?
Gotcha. I think its value definitely has to be proven first. Priority for new chains should definitely lay in the top by amount of TVL that could potentially be put into the ThorChain pools. Cause that's, you know, that's part of the goal of adding new chains along with the, you know, continued community support. So, you know, without some kind of, you know, estimate or ballpark or, you know, some kind of feel on how much TVL an integration drives, that really determines what the priority is there. And this new ADR process will make things very clear because node operators will signal whether they want the addition of a new chain through this new process.
Chad, I forgot to mention this, Chad, earlier. Both Near and Kadena have developer grant funds available as well. So if people within your development teams and whatnot want to integrate those, there are pretty sizable chunks of money available in grants to possibly fund integrating some of those types of things into Thorchain. Just as a side note.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Like any way we can make, like from, I'm all for anything that makes integrating more chains faster, you know, cheaper, get more people involved, more devs, more hands, just like, you know, we can swarm this thing. It doesn't have to be, you know, Pluto or Eridanus or whomever that's like doing all this work to add chain A, B, or B or C. Totally game if more devs get their hands in and just build the Dash one. One guy's building the Haven one guy's building this one, that one. And we just swarm the hell out of this thing and just integrate as much chain as possible while maintaining security.
Yeah, I see a lot of people that are like, oh, why don't the devs implement this chain or implement that chain? But, you know, in reality, there's only so many people that are working on these things, and everyone has a lot of things that they're trying to accomplish. And like NineRealms is kind of taking the lead on integrating new chains. And, you know, there's only so many people that are actually doing these things. So, like, it's great that the Haven team and the Dash team has really stepped up to, you know, take a lead on their own chain integration, because you can look at their you know, the market caps of Dash and Haven, like those wouldn't normally be priorities under you know, what can feasibly be done with just the you know, the resources that the Thorchain teams have. But other development teams stepping in and assisting with it, and, you know, and talking with the Thorchain development teams is really like pushed on the process for them. And you know, in due time, very soon, hopefully, they'll see the results of that and seeing the integration right into Thorchain. So that can be done with any chain. Like if people want to see Cardano on Thorchain, this, you know, Thorchain could be the only DEX that supports Cardano, but it needs that support and that drive.
Not even Cardano.
It goes with anything.
Imagine if the first DEX was some other DEX off chain.
Yeah, John, you know,
bringing DeFi to Cardano. Bullish.
I was looking into this yesterday, right, Chad, and like there's a grant process for Cardano too. And it's like all it needs people to actually run these integrations, someone to step up and take the lead and then really run with it. So you know, anything can be integrated. I think the highest priority should always be the chains with the most economic value to bring to the chain, that being TVL and swap volume. But
yeah, you know, but in addition to TVL and swap volume, it's all about like community integration as well, and like getting support from this new community that they're be jazzed and excited about it. Like if we were to do Cardano, for example, I would really want to see Josh Hodgkinson to have his weight behind this integration and have him tweeting about it and getting his community excited about it. Otherwise, we just want to chain to a more or less an empty room. And it isn't really quite, even though there's high TVL and there's high potential TVL and high potential swaps, like, you know, I don't want to launch to an empty room. Like, that's kind of what happened with Doge. Like, we launched Doge because we already had it built months, like almost a year prior. And then all the Doge community that we had kind of lined up just kind of pulled out last minute because they were afraid of DeFi, because DeFi is scary for them. And they were just, you know, we kind of just pulled out. And then we just never got, you know, a high, you know, depth to the Doge pool or even a like, huge quantity of swap volumes. Or just, even though like Doge is big in terms of market cap and trade volumes, things, it ended up not really, you know, contributing a lot of value to the network.
Right.
Or like Bitcoin Cash, it's like the number 23 asset, but you know, nobody really cares to do much with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have potential though. I don't think that just because Doge is on Thorchain doesn't get much attention right now, that'll always be that way.
That's fair.
Like, you know, I think that, you know, real proliferation into, especially like community as big and widespread as that, it takes a lot of time. And that goes with Bitcoin too. Like you could say that you know, the Bitcoin, you know, Bitcoin, which is the biggest innovation of Thorchain, bringing like a DEX to Bitcoin, basically. You know, that's huge. It's the biggest thing on Thorchain right now, but it's nothing compared to what it can and potentially will be in the next few years. So, like, I think it takes time to really get that proliferation. But yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Citizen.
No, I was just gonna say I'm pretty sure Charles wouldn't want Thorchain to integrate with Cardano, because at the rate the team ships, it would totally let the cat out of the bag. Like, everybody in the Cardano community would be like, "Wait, what? We can release something in like a few months? It doesn't take 5 years of, you know, scholarly research and whatnot."
The peer review is already in process for Thorchain.
An interesting observation, by the way, with this with the fiasco with Terra UST. Several observations that make me more bullish on Thorchain are: one is that like bridge weaknesses are a problem. When you like connect things with these kind of like centralized bridges, I think Vitalik was right about that ultimately, and it turns out that that's like a whole other like shit show waiting to happen. We saw what happened to the wormhole hack. That was another interesting fiasco, which was sort of rectified by Jump Capital, but whatever, right? And then, you know, if you look at like the fact that central exchanges were more than happy listing UST, but were not able to provide sufficient either liquidity or sort of like participate in peg maintenance, makes basically any cross chain, like stablecoin derivative of some kind, no matter how you collateralize it or what you do with it, inherently sort of dangerous in that respect. So many interesting observations that make, really like Thorchain seem, more and more like the right choice in so many ways. But anyway, that's just kind of my observation.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, that actually did bring up another thought that I had, or just to get your thoughts on this, chat, or anybody else that's in this call, is besides the Terra integration, you know, going down, there were several other swaps that also were disabled during that flurry of activity during that time period. As I remember, there were some other liquidity pools that were disabled, and I don't know if I ever got the full like postmortem on what happened with the other chains. I mean, the Terra chain made sense. That was like insane. But yeah, I was just curious to get thoughts on what happened with the other stuff and maybe how that could be prevented in the future.
Yeah, the other ones were it's really just two different issues. So the one that was the more frequent issue is that the network has a solvency checker, and it auto pauses itself when it notices something kind of off or skew. And the problem with this is that it's basically checking two different sources of truth simultaneously that are both like moving objects against each other. And so it's sometimes it's like, you know, this source A has up to block, you know, 5,000, and source B that block 4,995 or something like this. And so that just creates like, oh, hey, they don't agree with each other. I'm like, yeah, because they're not really quite, you know, succinct, right? And so you have this kind of race condition, or this kind of, we call it race condition in software engineering terms, but like you have this thing where it's just, they don't always quite align or agree because they're both moving objects in a sense. And so sometimes the network would just say, oh, hey, they're not aligned, and then it would pause itself. And then, like, you know, we would have to wait until a memory admin could come online just to verify everything's okay, and everything's okay, and then go ahead and continue it. And that's just like an annoyance that just kept happening over and over and over again. And so we made a change in version, I think it was 88 or 89, where, you know, the network would pause, but then it would unpause itself if it did, like, align again. And so we still see the situation where it's, like, it's pausing itself every once in a long while, and for like maybe 30 seconds or something like this, and then it unpauses itself and everything continues and everything is just fine. The other thing that happened, which has happened to us once before, and we need to do better on this, but Binance did once this on the Doge network, where they just basically did like, hey, we have all these like huge quantity of UTXOs on the Doge blockchain. Let's go ahead and consolidate them and like, you know, broadcast an umpteenth million, you know, transactions to consolidate all the UTXOs into, like, you know, a handful of them, like blowing out the Doge mempool, like some significant amount. And then it happened again on, I think it was a Bitcoin chain, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they just like pumped out.
Yeah.
And they just pumped out massive quantities of UTXOs, which caused the Bitcoin block, the mempool to become just oversaturated, which basically means that the nodes of the network have to like scan the mempool for, you know, transactions and such, but it can't do it. It couldn't keep up with the load because there's all of a sudden there was just like crazy amounts of things in the mempool. And so it ran into a problem where like it took too long to get there, which caused the network to pause itself. And then we just had to wait until the nodes could catch up and scan the mempool. And then once that happened, then everything was fine. And continue on. We'll probably end up like adding, I wrote myself a note to do this, but like we got to increase the thread count on the mempool scanner from 5 to 8 or 9 or something like this, so that it's scanned mempools much more efficiently. And so it can handle that, these kind of situations. But these are just kind of like, you know, weird edge case scenarios that we have to make small modifications to, just to be more resilient to, against such kind of crazy, wacky scenarios like this.
Awesome. Thanks. Yeah, that's a great explanation. I had one more question, but I can see that someone else has got their hand up and I'm already done too. So I'll let somebody else go.
Yeah, just say so. And we'll get to you in a second. First, SN50, are you there now? All right, let's go to DGens for a broader future. What's up, man?
Wow. You know, when I go on these things, normally people just say DGens. Thank you for saying the full title. Appreciate it.
See, that would refer to too many people, so I didn't want people to get confused.
No.
We're all DGens.
I mean, I'm working on... I have a team of people and we're working on educational content, and I try to make it to every single one of these sword chain discussions. I just personally think, first off, outrageously undervalued. Second, arguably one of the most important projects in this entire space. Like, we need to have these mechanisms to purchase or swap between these assets in a decentralized manner. And even in some countries, you might not have access to a certain cryptocurrency, but I think in the future, you'll just be able to buy Bitcoin or ETH or stable coins, and you can go onto ThorChain and then swap readily and easily between, you know, these assets. And I think that's extremely important. So I've been on several of these chats, and I failed to ask this question. So over time, what does ThorChain eventually become? I overheard the integration of Cardano, for example. Will there always need to be the elements of, like, say, having a team that's constantly adding cryptocurrencies, or will it become in the long term, like, say, maybe 20 years from now, which I know, or maybe 10 years from now, I don't know. Crypto moves so fast, but is there ever going to be a point where there's not a team behind adding different assets onto ThorChain? I was just curious about what the long-term prospect looks like. And also, love the project. Don't know if I could say that enough, but keep it up.
Thank you for that. Yeah, that's actually an excellent question. In the first year or so, it's going to be a lot of kind of talk and pressure on adding new chains. But every time we add a new chain in this community, there's kind of a return. There's like a diminishing returns on adding more, right? Because once you've already, even just adding Bitcoin and Ethereum by itself, you're already integrating with like 85% of the total liquidity of cryptocurrency. And then you throw on BNB, you throw on Avalanche, you throw on, you know, Atom, and then from Atom, you have access to the entire rest of the system in a sense. Like all of that, like you just already get to like 98% or 99% after, you know, 10 chains or 15 chains potentially. So then it's like, well, are we going to add 20? Are we going to go for 50? Are we going to go for 100? Like, probably not. Like, you know, I mean, obviously, like there's new chains that come out, like, you know, and people want to add it, people can add it. But like, I think as time goes on, you won't really be looking towards, you know, 9 Realms or the core team to be adding these chains. And, you know, if Polkadot wanted to be added, like Polkadot could build the chain integration, and then Polkadot could champion adding this chain within the 4chain community and say, hey, we built this chain integration, you know, for Polkadot, we would love to see it added. And then they follow the ADR process, you know, and see it gets voted on. And then, so like, I would like to see us stick to a place where we don't really require either the core team or even 9 Realms. We're not there today, and we probably won't be there within the next year minimum, if not 3. But I would love to see us to the point where we just kind of break apart. And it's just going to take us years to get there, to be honest with you.
No, I appreciate your honesty. You know, what's that great story of Remy and Romulus? So they were two babies abandoned and then breastfed by a wolf, and they ended up building Rome. Anyways, I don't know if you ever read that, but anyhow. I mean, you know, it's the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. So I'm not expecting this to be fast, but I'm championing very much what you guys are doing. I feel like cryptocurrency right now is in a down market, and people are very, I think at this point, you know, a lot of the money was driven by retail and, you know, number go up. And that's a part of the experience, you know, as the technology gets more integrated, or as mass adoption increases over time, then the technology's price reflects that adoption. And the thing I love so much about ThorChain is that it's doing something that is extremely important, extremely unique, and something that we desperately need before it's too late. You know, and I know you just said that could be 3-4 years, but not trying to rush you or anything, but you know, but well, I appreciate someone needed to do this. Someone needed to do this, and you guys are the right team. I think I'll always push talk about ThorChain with my friends and with my family, and I'm also really excited about Haven Protocol being added. Any means to have privacy coins become more accessible to people, I think, is extremely important as well.
I thank you for saying that, because it's so funny to me, because like I'm kind of in the inside looking out in the matter of speaking, and like for me, I'm always just a little bit like weirded out, because I do feel like the what we're building here is super important and it's like critical and it's like unique and all these things that you were just saying, but like the rest of the world is just kind of like sleeping on it. And I'm just like, I don't understand why you're all sleeping on this thing, because it's really fucking amazing. And then like, I'm like, what's wrong here? I'm like, is there something I'm missing? Or like, is there something, like, I have no idea, but for me, I'm just like, this thing is truly one of the most amazing crypto products in the entire industry. And like, you know, 70% of people never, I'm just like,
Chad, I think that reflects just how like expensive advertising generally is, right? So like we rely upon more of a viral sort of advertising and word of mouth and you know, just spreading on the internet and such, but like, you know, many retail companies spent a huge amount of like money trying to catch eyeballs with advertising, and that's not something that's particularly prevalent in the crypto arena. So it's going to take potentially maybe that much longer in a sense. But on the other hand, you know, we do have all these other techniques to spread information without having advertising and, you know, taking all the actual cash flow and dumping it on like, you know, Google or whoever, right? So it's like, it's a plus and a minus in a way.
Yeah. I mean, for Project, we've always been kind of against marketing. Like we have no marketing at all. We don't have no budget for it. There's nobody on the team that is a marketing person. And we've always just relied on basically, you know, Chad Thoreau and Filmer Cow basically doing these spaces. And, you know, people like other people in the community just tweeting out and just kind of getting the word out through like a grassroots mechanism rather than a, you know, like my buddy, you know, he works for Algorand and he's like one of the, you know, heads at the marketing department. And like Algorand spends ridiculous amounts of money on the most ridiculous things trying to get the brand out there. And it's very effective because obviously Algorand's doing quite well in terms of like its market cap relative to everything else. And so it's like, you know, to some extent it's working as a post form, right? Even though I'm not really sure what the product actually does. But yeah, we always going against marketing. We're just kind of relying on more of just shipping good product that adds real value and just kind of hoping everything else just kind of falls into place.
I think that the joy of Rune in particular in ThorChain, ThorSwap, and also waiting on ThorFi, that's going to be amazing. I cannot wait for ThorFi. I'm such a degenerate piece of shit. It's going to be fantastic. Anyway,
should we tell him?
Oh, did I come in late? Oh, I probably came in late. Hold on. Hold that thought. Put it in a picture frame. Hang it on the wall. I promise you I will admire it. I think the beauty of ThorChain is that there is a demand that is going to grow over time, especially with a lot of the barriers to entry that are constantly being made. If we look at what's, for example, everything that's going on in the European Union, like all these different bills that they're trying to pass through, which haven't passed through yet, so nobody panic yet, maybe, I don't know. But it shows that there's this power, overbearing wants to control a lot of what we do financially. And Thor, if we, you know, Bitcoin is decentralized money and store of value. And then Ethereum is that programmable money. And I think that ThorChain is kind of the glue at the center of all of it that's going to make all of this work. Like this idea that you can avoid a bank, take your money in cryptocurrency, or potentially in the future get paid in cryptocurrency, be able to access these tools using Rune as that swapping mechanism in between each of these things. And I think that the beautiful thing about Rune is that I feel like eventually you guys should sell t-shirts that say Rune is inevitable, because it is. I think eventually everybody is going to have to use it.
Although I would say that retail users or just average crypto customer, let's just call them that, they traditionally have undervalued privacy, and they have traditionally even more maybe undervalued sovereignty, meaning like outside the most hardcore BTC crowd or the most hardcore ETH crowd or whatever, These are features about people's money that like they think last about. Like 95%+ of people, maybe 99, I could be, but like probably it's more of a number go up question than it is about a philosophy of utility and a philosophy of ownership. And you know, I think that just that takes time though. It's like that that could take you know, building sort of like a core group of users who share the, that vision. I mean, just look how long it took BTC to get where it is now, right? We've been going over a decade. So it's a slow process, hearts and minds, right?
Yeah, changing money is obviously extremely difficult. And that's personally why we spend 10 years. But I've always been like, I think anybody who's been these like meetings with me in the past, like I've always pushed pretty hard on kind of like the importance of crypto from a privacy perspective or a civil rights perspective or like, you know, an empowerment perspective, equality perspective. I've always kind of actively pushed into the idea of like number go up, which so much of the community in general is kind of fixated on, which is for me, it's like just not the reason to be in the space. I mean, yes, it is because you want to make money and everybody wants to make money. And
although Chad, like the price meme effect is really well established. It's like if you have a system whereby your coin goes up in value, it's like immediate eyeballs, right? Like it has to do with how, like price tracking apps work, how notifications work, how clickbait articles on Google get posted by various, you know, so-called media authorities. It, you know, there is a very strong tie-in with the price of an asset adoption. The price is actually deterministic to adoption. Not only is adoption deterministic to price, it's like simultaneous. It's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting you say that because, like, I think over, you know, 80-90% of crypto articles are, you know, coin has gone up or coin has gone down. Why? Like, can anyone explain this? Like, why
has it
gone up or gone down? But the difference is that Thor Chain provides, like, it's deeper than that, and in that it provides actual utility in the liquidity that's available on the Thor Chain network that gives access to Bitcoin, to Ethereum, to Doge, to everything else. And then, you know, these integrations that will happen with other DEXs and with aggregators. And that's really how Thorchain will proliferate and give value towards those who participate in the ecosystem. And you don't even need to participate in the ecosystem to benefit or use Thorchain to, you know, to take ownership of your own personal sovereignty to be able to swap permissionlessly with Thorchain. You don't need to be a rune holder. You don't need to be part of that value accrual mechanism. But everything that's built leads towards the you know, the proliferation of decentralized liquidity and decentralized swaps with Thorchain.
Yeah, that is the key, I think. You know, if Thorchain and Rune is just for us nerds, like that, this still plays out. You know, like if sovereign money and all this broader crypto stuff, you know, continues to trend in that direction, then Thorchain is doing such an important thing in that. And the value capture of Rune is inherently tied to that. So even if it's not, you know, memed and hyped up, like it all still does play out. And then as that starts to play out, then I think what you said, Sefi, is true, is like the deterministic price of Rune follows the actual usage. Even if people aren't hearing about Thorchain, it's just through back-end infrastructure, invisible integrations and stuff. Then it starts to rise just through its inherent value capture, and then people start to notice it. So
yeah, it's like the price goes up and people notice that your project exists, but then it's only because your project has a function that people love to use that they stay, right? There's a big difference between showing up and actually, you know, throwing up a lot of your net worth or like total value into that project, right? Like you it's almost like you show up at the app store for your phone you know, the presence of the app store is great and everything, but most of the stuff in there you don't go and purchase, right? You find the things that are most useful, and those are the things that capture most of the actual liquidity from those users. I think the same is true in DeFi. It's like these unique use cases have a, you know, maybe like unique value capture mechanisms and utility that ultimately drives permanent users. I would think like most people who use ThorFi a few times, and I don't know, maybe to have some metrics, or not ThorFi, but like Thorchain, I would think that like people that start using it for exchanging BTC and such are probably permanent users at that point. I would think that the like stickiness of the ecosystem is quite high once you have captured those people. What, am I wrong, or is that, that well, does the metric show that?
So there was like, there's a crazy idea I had right after Luna had its kind of rough day, where I kind of put up to the team for discussion, and it just kind of failed the motion. But like, I thought it'd be brilliant if we just basically donated 1 million rune to like people who lost, you know, funds in Luna.
Yeah, like a big airdrop, thing. Basically.
Like a big giant airdrop. And yeah. Like, and people are like, oh, they're just going to sell the rune. It's going to be bigger. I'm like, yeah, if they sell it, that's fine. That means that they come on, that they get a Forceswap wallet, you know, get the rune and sell it into Bitcoin or sell it into, you know, some other asset. But they just use the product, and by using the product, they just now understand why it's so valuable. And because, you know, we've kind of extended them, you know, a helpful hand at a time that's very difficult for them. Maybe when they go to buy a rune or go buy an asset in 6 months, rune is at the top of their list, because, you know, when it's just to kind of rebuild their portfolio or whatever, that like rune's on that top of the list, because A, we do something that's really valuable, and B, we were, you know, we offered them a helpful hand when they were at their lowest moment. But I couldn't convince the rest of the team that was worth the room.
All right, we had some other people up here. I brought back up SN50 because he requested. Are you there, man?
Yeah, I'm closer to home this time. Hi. My question was for Chad there. So regarding Thorf, I personally am still very excited about it, but my interest, I guess, would say, was more in the swapping department. So I was just wondering how you came to put it on the backseat. Was it only like based on what we saw on Twitter, that poll, or was there like in more an internal chain with Nose Operator, and how did we end up like just at where we are with the situation on Turfic right now?
Personally, yeah. I feel for me it was just like, in order for anything to pass within the Thorchain network, all node operators have to vote on it more or less by adopting the change, which you need a 2/3 majority, you know, for that change to happen. And we've yet to see a contentious software update at this time, right? We've never done anything that is really all that, you know, questionable. And given all the pressure that I was seeing both in the Discord and on Twitter and all these conversations that I was having with the community in general, it just seemed so far-fetched that we were going to get, you know, 2/3 of the node operators to be behind this thing. I try not to have conversations with node operators directly, because I try to maintain a separation, right? I don't want to know what the Discord names are or the Twitter names are. I don't want to, I make a best effort that I can to not actually know the identities, any stretch or form, even pseudo anon names. So like, I didn't have a lot of conversations with people that are, at least out knowingly, with people that are node operators, but it just was getting so much pushback from this community as a whole. It just seemed like it would have been a huge waste of time. And I'd already spent a lot of hours and a lot, like, you know, almost a week trying to advocate for it, and just was not getting anywhere. And I just didn't want to spend, you know, increase the size of the lump on my head from hitting it against this brick wall for days on end. It was just unsustainable for me, even personally. It was just too draining and exhausting. So I needed to step back from it, because I was just not feeling good about it from, you know, personally, and other people were too. Like, Lena was feeling very similar, and other people were feeling similar, and it just was getting too toxic in some sense. And so let's just put it on the shelf, and we'll come back to it in a few months, and maybe the community has changed, or maybe not. Maybe Luna UST will be kind of like one of those things that just changes the philosophy, right? It's not just like, oh, a product died. Like, that happens more or less all the time in crypto land, but this is obviously very different. This is something that's much larger. And so maybe people the philosophy of individuals have changed, and there'll be more resistance against algo stables in general, or, you know, things that burn and mint, you know, or whatever. Like, that could be a thing that happens in the general sphere, but only we'll know that is just time. And so we'll measure things again in like 2 or 3 months or so, and see what the node operators think, what the community thinks, how they're feeling about it. We'll do our best at that time to explain why this is not Luna UST, why it's better, why it solves the problems, why Luna UST failed, and why we are not going to do it. All these things, you know, we'll do that, and we'll see how people feel about it. But in the end, the community's going to decide, like, is Thorchain just going to be a solid AMM and cross-chain AMM, and it's just going to do that extremely well? Or is it going to try to reach beyond the AMM world and go into other aspects of DeFi and lending and interest rates and interest counts and all these kind of things? Or is it just going to stay focused on its core ideals of the original white paper, which was this kind of cross-chain AMM stuff? That's up to the community to decide, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, if I can help, like, basically, I personally I am excited about Terrify, but probably like a lot of people, like the Luna situation left a void, and that would kind of was the feel I have from, I guess, the polls, is that everybody wants it, but just want to see a bit more chains added first, I guess.
Sure. Which is one thing anyway. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is like, based on a comment, like people, like, you know, it's either USD or like stable coins, like, you know, USD, USDC or USDP. Like, I mean, there is a variety of stable coins in between, but I mean, people just don't make the difference right now. It's one or the other. So, I mean, there's a bit of education to be done too on that part. Right?
Yeah, there needs to be, honestly, there needs to be a reckoning with stable coins in general. Everybody's picking on Algo right now because of Luna UST and whatever. And in many respects, that's the design. But there's really three different types of Algo stables, of just stables in general today, Algo being one of the three. And that's just the one that's easiest to get wrong in many respects. And the other ones of like, oh, fiat, like actual fiat back, which is what USDC and USDT is, and then over-collateralized, which is what, like, you know, DAI is. But like all of those other designs are just as, you know, likely, in my view, to have a complete and utter failure, right? Like, honestly, I think USDC and USDT at some point in time, in the same night, they're both going to lock everybody's funds, and you're not going to be able to move your USDC or USDT until you KYC with, you know, Jeremy Allaire over at Circle, right? And like, that's going to be a huge event that's going to cause massive ripples in the industry. That's going to be just crazy, crazy, massively, like, terrifying. And, you know, something like DAI, like, it's this, you know, everybody's kind of leaning on the over-collateralization part, but, like, you know, it's relying on Ethereum and other assets to not have a sudden price change.
It relies on USDC. I mean, if they locked them out, I mean, that doesn't make much more sense. At some point, it was like 2/3 of their collateral was USDC. I think they lowered it a little bit since. But
yeah, still. So yeah, if they were to do that, like, who's going to KYC over it at MakerDAO? I don't know who that would actually be to unlock all those funds. And then, like, well, like, that raises this huge thing. Like, it's just, those other stablecoins are not as secure as people think that they are, right? They think everybody's picking on algos. But, like, honestly, from a first principles perspective, algos actually have the most reliable way. And it's like kind of what's silly to say now because everybody hates them and everybody's saying they're impossible, blah, 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 blah. But if you look at it from a first principles perspective, like, well, you can't have a fiat-backed stablecoin be reliable because it's fiat-backed and, you know, anything could happen. There's no way to predict it. And it all requires government pressure, which is inevitable. Or you can do collateralized, which, you know, that's relying on price movements aren't going to be quick, which that's inevitably going to happen because it has to happen. It's fucking crypto land. And then you have algo, which is like, well, algos can work, but people say that they can't work because UST and Iron and ESD and USDN and all these things. But that's not a good reason to think that algos can't work just because they failed. Like, you know, Edison created a light bulb and took him 1,000 different tries of different metals before he found one that illuminated but did not melt.
Hey, Chad.
Like, yeah.
On that front, a question I had, and this has been a topic of somewhat extensive discussion, but within a specific ecosystem like Thorchain or a Terra or whatever, a specific layer one or ecosystem, do you believe it's feasible to have a sort of like the Disney dollar stablecoin, meaning it's worth a dollar within the ecosystem, and there's a mechanism whereby that stability is maintained within that space. But, you know, you don't bridge it, you don't send it anywhere, you don't send it to, you know, centralized exchanges. You use it only for stability exposure in that ecosystem, and it provides a utility function right there, and that's it. Because like UST did that perfectly well. Within Terra itself, it's when you exported it to all sorts of places that the drama began in many ways.
Yeah, that's true. Like the biggest problem with UST, or at least the thing that started the whole thing, was secondary markets on like curve issues, right? It wasn't even just like Terra problems. It was curve issues that kind of started the ball to roll in a sense. You're asking if Disney dollars would work, and I think it's possible, but it highly depends upon the implementation of the different assets that it's exposing itself to and what the monetary policies of those assets. So I think it's generally speaking it to be possible, but as soon as you get into the how do you exchange these things into externally, like into other layer ones and other ecosystems, then it gets really dicey at that point. Yeah, it's possible though. I'm open to learning more about it, or if somebody gets more specific implementation details that I could read into and kind of something I can actually stick my teeth into. But on a high level, I don't see why not.
correct me if I'm wrong, chat. Though I'm interested in all the Algos stable coins pretty much, and so I was kind of having an epiphany, or how harder it gets the bigger that stable coin is. Like, even if we look at over collateralized coin, like let's say I was looking into AUSD, they have like a 200% collateralized stable coin. And obviously it's less prone to the same death spiral that USD had, but at some point, like, the problem is when they get so big, then you can start a cascade event. Like, I mean, there's so much on order books you can't take before the price just crash, like straight up down before it can even get sold lateral. So like that, I mean, that would be the kind of problem to be solved. Is like the issue is not when the stablecoin is smaller, it's when it gets too big. And I mean, even if it's back at some point, like if the price, the order books are getting thinner and thinner on CXs and wherever the price gets its feed from. And I mean, so like my theory was kind of that we need a whole plethora of stablecoins to be kind of dispersed over, like even if they're in their each ecosystem, but the bigger it gets, the harder it gets to control.
Yeah, that's true. I'm worried about like a scenario where, you know, if something happens with Ethereum, let's just say, like, say something happens, something goes wrong with Ethereum 2 launch merge or something. Not that I'm saying it will happen, or think that it will. I'm sure it'll go very smoothly. But just speaking of hypotheticals, if something like that were to happen, obviously the Ethereum token would drop in value real quickly. And because it's part of any token that's an ERC-20 would also have to see a very precipitous, you know, shift in its value as well, because of some, you know, indeterminate state in the network or something like this, like, right? That just causes a loss of faith in that particular ecosystem, which means that, you know, DAI as well has probably lost its faith as well, and then it loses its peg, and like all these things. This is a comical thing that like people are like, oh, it's over collateralized, it's fine, right? Like it's you're not worried about the faith of the underlying asset in Luna's case. Well, to me, it's like, well, all of these things are fucking faith. It doesn't matter if it's you collateralized or uncollateralized. Everything is faith in this industry. Every asset in monetary policy, whether it's inside crypto or traditional fiat, all that stuff is faith-based, right? And so like anything, these things can fail around from a faith perspective. And if they do, you see a very fast drop in price. And for over-collateralized stable coins, that's a big oh no.
Well, but it all takes it one, it's one black event, or box one event, really. So that's why I kind of feel like the more stable coins are compartmentalized, it's like the easier it is to kind of keep them stable. And, you know, I guess at some point, will we see like an easier way to like switch one stable to another stable and the other you're going?
Yeah, that's actually part of ThorChain's design, was that it took a bunch of different stables from a bunch of different systems, some centralized, some decentralized, some in this system, some in that ecosystem. And then it looks at the aggregate of them to define a new stable that is more stable than any of them individually could possibly be. You actually create the hardest pegged stable coin in the entire industry, utilizing a series of stables from a series of different projects and teams and scenarios. And the only thing you actually require is that the vast majority of them do not fail at the same second. And as long as that's the case, then you're probably fine.
All right, let's move on to some other.
All right, guys, let you have a good one, guys. Thank you for the answers.
Thanks, man. X-Red is up here.
Yeah, hi everyone. First, I just want to thank you for all the work's been done since years now, because I just using your platform something like every day or every 2 days, and working great, especially with the new UI that comes back 2 months ago. Or 1 month ago, if I correct. I don't know if my question will be relevant on this slide, but regarding the, you know, the integration of the privacy coin, something like XMR or XHV, my question is concerning, you know, the node, which is Ether rights, are on AWS Amazon. 90% of them. My question is that, judging the services you want to expand, and maybe the problem you can face with the regulation, is there any solutions that Amazon cannot just shut you down, or is there plan B, something like that?
There was a PR that went out and a community poll that went out amongst node operators to implement a new change, which it would, the network basically would turn in nodes that are to optimize decentralization. And so if there's already too many AWS nodes, it's not going to turn in more AWS nodes. So those nodes, the method is store their AWS nodes and create new ones on DigitalOcean or Google, you know, Google Computer, or it's called Google Engine. And it was actually voted down, to my surprise. I guess the node operators just don't want to move to a different cloud provider. But I think like even with the way it is now, it's not as bad as you think it is. For one, it's not that many nodes are on AWS, not 90%. I think it's 60% or something like this. But also, like, it's in different data centers across the entire world. So if the United States government said, okay, no more ThorChain, the AWS would shut down the ones in, you know, the Northeast and like, you know, in Oregon and all these kind of places in Virginia, but they wouldn't shut down the ones that are in Germany and the ones in Tokyo and the ones that are in Australia. And so like you would see some of them go down, but probably not. I have to look at the actual numbers and know that this is actually true, but probably fine. That like you wouldn't get enough nodes shut down unless you had multiple governments acting all together at the same time. And even if that did happen, what ended up happening was those node operators could just rebuild their nodes on new infrastructure on another cloud provider in another country and then continue on, right? Even if we had 1/3 plus one of the nodes shut off, which means the network is now paused, you know, those 1/3 plus one people that run those nodes could just take their private key, move it to a different server somewhere else, and then like restart. And it would take them a week to do that because it takes a while to build the infrastructure to actually do this kind of thing. But still, like the network wouldn't die. It would pause temporarily and then like, you know, reallocate itself. Very similar to what happened when like, you know, China banned Bitcoin. I think it was in three of the provinces, Bitcoin mining in three different other provinces. And then, you know, the hash rate of Bitcoin dropped like 50%, you know, almost overnight. And then 3 months later is an all-time high, right? And effectively, it would be more or less the same.
Okay. Thanks for this answer. It's just quite good. I wasn't know that there is, multiple country. I was thinking that Amazon governance have just, the ability with the US courts to just shut down even in Europe or Asian or, but you say it's wrong. My question is, wasn't this because with PrivacyCon as XMR, it just gave a perfect exit door for, alternative markets to just exit your liquidity. And I'm sure you know that the swapper BTC XR, full atomic swap is ongoing. And maybe before the end of the year with a GUI, which will be really easy to use for, every actor of the privacy, alternative markets. And right now there is only ThorChain I see with the multi-chain who just can gave us the abilities to just after, withdraw and take away in every, section we want. There is also Atomic Wallets, but it's not the same. It's not full DeFi. So yeah, thanks for that. I'm pretty sure this point will be, uncovered by the times privacy got, added on chain. But yes, so thanks and keep going, guys.
Thank you. Au revoir.
Cool. Thanks. And Knight of the Roundtable. Let's wrap up with you.
Hey there. Thanks very much. I just some observations about kind of usage. I think more or less all DeFi and all crypto is based on how many people use a specific token or a specific platform. Because the reason I see why like ETH went up was this big NFT move that happened, mid last year, more or less happened in the bear market that started in May 2020. And then for those 6 to 9 months after that, you used to see the big NFT move and then Ethereum starts to move and price fall for it. So when it comes to ThorChain, I think the thing that will make it move is more chains more than anything else. And what I don't, people say, oh, bear markets are there for building and bull markets are there for not or something like that. But I think it's the opposite. I think when you're in a bull market and you add more chains and you get more people coming in, you get more swaps and you get liquidity, that pushes prices up much better than trying to add them, because I've just seen here ThorSwap wants to add Solana wallet just now. Like, what's the use of Solana? And looking at my charts of Solana is going to go to single digits. So will AVAX. So you can add them now. What's the use? We didn't add them when they were $100, $250 for Solana, when you could get a decent amount of fee for a swap. But you're going to add them now when they're not even going to generate any money. That's my thinking. So the conclusion is, how do you get more users? How do we advertise more? How do we get more people in to use a specific product? And I think that's the key rather than anything else. It's not just about changing how to get more people.
There's truth to what you're saying, but at the same time, building up now and maturing the chain now, while we're now in kind of a half bear market in a sense, and getting a bunch of chains added, blah, blah, blah. And you're right. And so because it's a bearish market and people aren't as excited anymore, euphoric, and so people aren't going to respond to news as much as they did, a few months ago or whatever, that's okay. We can still mature the chain. We can still build it. We can still expand. We can do things so that when we do have a bull market again, things start getting euphoric again, and people start going kind of, apeshit crazy, that we're already, you know, we're already set and ready to go. We already support 10 chains or 12 chains, whatever the hell the number is going to be. Or, and, you know, people can start swapping and learning more about it because it already integrates with their favorite chain, insert chain here. And so it's still value just constantly shipping, constantly, you know, provide more and more value to the network, even if it's a bear market.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Chad, on that point. Because in a way, if you're not making money, what are we doing? You just think they're kind of fiddling your thumbs, don't want to do any swaps. Nobody wants to sell in the bear market and you're all sat on the coins in a way. So we might as well just program. I wish I could program because I'd be doing exactly that now. The last thing I just want to ask about ThoughtFi, I know it's slightly shelved and all that, but in all honesty, people's psychology seems to forget everything within a few months, 6 months probably max, and people have forgotten it, given how crypto works. 6 months in crypto is like, you know, 20 years. So, you know, you could see Luna, with despite that horrendous crash, which you can, the conspiracy, you know, conspiracy, I believe it's completely some form of internal work. It might not be by Do Kwon, it might be by some other big player, but people have forgotten within, you know, a month, and they're introducing Luna 2 and everybody's going to start buying and going crazy when, like, you're just ready to be burnt again. So I just don't think ThoughtFi should be shelved for a very long period of time. People will forget and people will move on, and you now have the benefit of hindsight of what happened to Luna and to then make a project that doesn't have those weaknesses and then succeed. Because looking at all tokens, the one that I actually think will do these big multiplies and do a big move in the next beginning of a bull would probably be Rune more than anything else, especially at the price it is at the moment. People will start scooping up rather than buying it at 10 and waiting for 100 and only getting a 10 multiplier. You buy it with 2.5 and you get yourself a 40 multiplier at 10. You know, and this is where the VCs come in and scoop all the coins, and some numpties are just selling them now, thinking, oh gosh, you know, it's 240, I'm going to sell, I'm going to get out. Well, off you go, sell out, and then you're the one who's going to lose a multiplier and come back in the bull market and buy it 15 and 20. So that's me. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah, good space today, everybody. So thanks for coming out, and always much love to Chad Barriford for you know, taking the time out of the day, and you know, just for all the work that goes into this protocol, because you know, there's a lot of people, and not just Chad, but everybody that you know, works to support the ThorChain protocol, as Chad, the core team, Nine Realms, everyone externally, the people who work for other projects like ThorSwap. And, you know, Discord modder has been working crazy hard these past couple of weeks to get, you know, to kind of correct course and just continue on to the path that ThorChain's been on for the past many years and will be on for the foreseeable future, for the next many years to come. So, you know, everyone's efforts is like, you know, really highly appreciated. So, you know, if you're in the community, you know, show some to, you know, everyone that's making this thing continue. So, thanks, everybody. And thanks, everyone, for listening, too. It's always cool to see how many people actually tune into these things. This is a great, great way to learn about what's happening in ThorChain. So I appreciate everyone coming out.
Yeah. How bearish can the market be when we have like 200 people show up to this thing? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. I second that. You know, like ThorChads are just very much different than the rest of the market. And price will do its thing, you know, chains may come or go unexpectedly, but ThorChads are, you know, doing their thing, and it's great to see, like you said. Yeah, the core team is just pushing so much. Nine Realms is up in the game, so you love to see it. So yeah, great job to everyone involved and the community for, you know, tuning into stuff like this and keeping their finger on the pulse of what's happening and you know, raising their concerns when they have them. I think that stuff's really important and helps everything move forward. So yeah, huge props to everyone involved. So
thank you.
Yeah.
All cool. Right.
See you guys next week.
Let's do it again next week. And if you're going to be in Austin on June 8th, then come say hi. Are you going to be there, Chad, by the way?
I'm going to be there. Throw, are you going to be there?
I am to be determined. I'll let you guys know soon.
Throw. Don't be a little bitch. Come on, man.
I'm an anonymous Twitter personality. I can't just like show. No, I'm just kidding. We'll see. I definitely want to meet you guys, but I'm decided.
It would be great to shake your hand. You and I have been chatting online forever here, you know, not in a dating kind of way, obviously.
Like, wait, it's not?
We've been courting each other for a long period of time. I've met Familiar Cow, you know, a couple of times, I think. At least once, and I haven't met you yet. So it'd be great to at least shake your hand and give you a hug.
I agree, man. It'll happen at some point. Hopefully, I'll make it happen here. But if not, I'm sure it will. So
yeah, no pressure. All right, catch you guys.
Sweet. All right. Later.